This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Here's a couple teases for you for Friday.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
A Chiefs player that was drafted in the NFL draft will join the show tomorrow.
Ooh, very nice.
So you'll want to be there. A high draft pick at that.
Yeah.
So there's your spoiler or tease that kind of eliminates a few if you think about it. We get to talk about the Knicks in the Boston Celtics.
Oh, we also have a former Chief coming
and
on.
And then
tomorrow.
We have also your guy, Chiefs guy at one point, now New Orleans Saint, Justin Reed.
Yep. He'll be on tomorrow at 8:20 because he's still doing stuff in Kansas City, foundationally right. Wise, raising money here, doing good things. Good. So we'll talk to him about that.
And the most important part, he loves this show.
That's exactly right. He said, come on, talk about the golf tournament coming up. Yep, you can. No problem.
Said,
whenever you
want.
Where
was my invite? He said, man, on the way to New Orleans, got murky. You know Southwest, Dusty. I was like, yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. But, Eric Reed joins the show. Or Justin Reed, joins
Who
the show
Eric
tomorrow.
Reed?
His brother.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a Chiefs player that was drafted. We know who it is, but we want to let you find out tomorrow.
John Asamoah.
That's right. And is Dan Kilgore going to play?
That's right.
So shout out to Tate. He was the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu on Smasher Pass. That was brought to you by Casey's Best Steaks. Booth Creek Wagyu, now at 95th and All and 135th and Metcalf. So two locations to find the meats. So I saw this thing yesterday on Instagram. We're sitting in post-production. It says in 1999, scientists have declared that that's when civilization peaked.
Did we really need scientists to basically tell us that? Because I think we could all determine ourselves that's when kind of civilization peaked, right?
So right before the millennium, right? Yeah. Right before that banger of an album the Backstreet Boys came out with.
I want it that way.
I think that was on that album.
Tell me why.
So I thought of this as a sports way because nobody's here to listen about scientists, right?
I think they nailed it, though. I mean, things have gone downhill pretty much since then.
but do we think that this Chiefs dynasty has peaked?
Define peak, because that's kind of what I struggle with.
Like, you've seen it at its best.
Do we think it's going, like, does that mean we're done winning championships?
No, it does not.
Or does that mean we've seen the best of what it has to offer, but yet it's still going to be really good, but the best is...
Kelce is maybe playing his last year.
Right.
Patrick Mahomes is hitting the age of 30.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is getting older. Mm-hmm. Spagnuolo is getting older. Chris Jones is getting older.
Chris Jones.
You may still win titles. You could still be great. But like maybe your peak now isn't, you know, where it was. It's still top and ranks high. Like some people would say that maybe Buffalo hasn't hit their peak yet. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Buffalo has hit their peak. But I wondered if you think the Chiefs have been the best they've ever been and the best they ever will be, and the best they ever was, shout out Bret Hart, already, or do you think there's still a top of a mountain that can be hit?
I think in this first era, like what do we say, it was chapter two or chapter three of this book, right? I think in this first era of Chiefs football, the peak has been hit, and for a couple of reasons. Number one, going to the AFC Championship game every year is a tough thing to do, right? We've seen that. We don't know what the replacements, if you will, are going to be for Travis Kelce or Chris Jones and how they're going to respond. Are they going to be we want them to be the same type of players and the same type of performers and all that kind of stuff, but there's no guarantees that whoever takes over for Travis Kelce in that role or Chris Jones in that role are the same level of player that those guys are right now. I do believe we've seen Patrick Mahomes' best season. I mean, 50 and 5,000, that's just stupid. Like that, you want to try to do that every single year? That was Patrick Mahomes' biggest downfall, is that he came out and did 50 and 5,000, and now everybody expects that to happen. Mm. And so I think from like those number standpoint, that has peaked. I don't think this team is done winning, though.
That's not necessarily the same.
Yeah, right. I don't want people to say, well, Fesco said this team's peaked and they're done. You know how people take things and, you know, my kids are listening and this is what... I don't care about your children. Here's the thing with that. Like you can peak from an offense, because I think they have with 50 and 5,000, but I don't know that they've finished winning. And I think there's still more winning in their system. Mm-hmm. There may not be more peaking, but there's more winning and more championships ahead.
Like, I think Brady peaked in 07. I don't think he was done being great, but he wasn't that Tom Brady anymore. Right? He had Randy Moss, had all that offense, had all those numbers.
Kind of Mahomes, 50 and 5,000.
Yeah, you know? And I mean, he put up great numbers in Tampa towards the end of his career as he got older and still won championships after 07. But like that 07 year, which I don't know how old he would have been in that time, probably 31, 30, let's see, he was 40 and 23. So 2003, he'd have been, I don't know how to do math. But either way, like just because you peak doesn't mean like it's the, like Matt, for instance, we'll take Blink 182 for example. Blink 182 peaked at Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. After that, they were still good. They just weren't that good. Mm-hmm. Like Untitled was great. They break up. Neighbors was a good album. But you go back and look at all the stuff before that. Like that album was like peak Blink, right?
But how much can you do once you peak in the music industry, right? It's hard to continue.
But you can still release music. Like I would say Garth Brooks peaked
in the 90s.
Like 90. He still came out with an album that was like Scarecrow that had a couple hits on it. He still had like the Trisha Yearwood stuff. He still went on tours and sold out. It was like this grand old opera in every town.
All those concerts, right? All the old hits, you know.
But I mean, you could still be great and not be at your peak, mm-hmm. is what I'm getting at. And I think that maybe there's the possibility, because I would say the Chiefs peaked at the Super Bowl where they beat San Francisco. When like
which one?
when McCole, the last one, when McCole Hardman game-winning touchdown, like they, that was where like they were 11-6 and they were still better than everybody else every single game of the playoffs. And even Mahomes, even if it's just like, oh, I'm exhausted.
Like that's the best postseason run, I think, 2 years ago.
I mean,
right?
You went on the road, you beat Buffalo and Orchard Park, you beat Baltimore, the big badass team that there was, and Mahomes throws to Kelce, like Kyle Hamilton, eat my, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I thought that was just like, maybe it may never get better than this, where you could have absolute garbage at wide receiver, hang on to the threads of your tight end for one more year, use your God-given talent plus your youth. And it's like, just because that's not there anymore, and again, they go 15-2 the next year, but a lot of stuff happened to get there.
Yeah, but 15-2, it was impressive, but the 11-6 year was different, and I think that was maybe Patrick Mahomes at his best in the playoffs. And it's hard to say which was Patrick Mahomes' best playoff run. The first one was an unbelievable playoff run. But that one where you had to go on the road and beat Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in their own house, that's pretty special. That's Patrick Mahomes' best run and best
everyone said he couldn't do
right?
it.
Yeah, and so you can, and then you come back the next year and you get back to the Super Bowl again, like three straight Super Bowls. I don't think we'll see gaudy numbers like we saw out of Patrick Mahomes ever again. But I do think we've got more Super Bowls to win.
I do think you will see his second best statistical season this year.
I'd like to think so.
There's just too much going into it, right? Like you had said, and I believe a little bit of it, maybe like 20%, that they will have some sort of like homage to the final dance or to the final season of Kelce Mahomes. Yeah. If this is it, like they'll have moments throughout the season.
You can
where,
also sell t-shirts for it too.
No, they should. And they will. Uh-huh. And you know, you look at this sort of thing that there is. And then you also look at like, this is probably the best receiver room he's had since his best receiver room that he had.
And well, which was the best receiver room that he had? Because I do think you're
Tyreek,
right.
Tyreek, Sammy Robinson.
I think that'd be it. Mecole Hardman.
Mecole Hardman. Rookie.
Yeah.
Like that was his best. Like that was when the numbers got similar to his first year as a starter. And I think that's when he won an MVP. No, he won MVP without Tyreek.
Yeah.
But like the thing is that new haircut. Okay. Got to put something into that. I don't know.
That's why the new chapter is starting because
good,
of the new
feel
haircut.
Good,
yeah.
Right. Different you. Got you as like the fourth best quarterback in the league. Still went to the Super Bowl and lost. That guy hates losing more than anyone you've ever met. Like that guy does not like to lose.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why the Chiefs don't lose, because Patrick Mahomes does not handle it very well. And I'm okay with that. If losing pisses you off and you're that big of an athlete, the best ones hated losing. That's why Tiger Woods didn't like to lose on the tour.
Well, and that's why they're the best ones.
Because it doesn't sit well with them.
Yeah,
so now he comes out this year, new haircut, little bit of doubt. Kelce's last year. Can he be Mahomes? Damn, man, you're 30 years old. Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce.
You didn't even mention the offensive line. You know, they've improved that left tackle position, and that's the one that's going to stabilize the entire thing. If they get the production out of the left tackle spot, Patrick Mahomes will have the ability to put up big numbers. But if they don't have the left tackle situation stabilized, well, then he's going to, you know, go back to where he was the last couple of years and fighting with the offensive line, you know, in the middle of games and whatnot. So you've got to get that left tackle thing figured out. If they don't figure that out, it doesn't matter who the hell the weapons are. They're not going to be able to be as good as you want them to be if you have that left tackle situation figured out. And I think they do. And I know just from having conversations with folks, this is like, you know, kind of a bombs away type of year. They want to reinvent the long ball and get back to doing those things and have some fun with it. And I think there's a little bit of that is involved with letting Travis have that fun as we move out of the Travis Kelce era, no pun intended, and into whatever the next era of Chiefs football is. It's have fun with Travis Kelce, let him shine this year, but also get back to those bombs away. If they get back to the bombs away, Travis is going to be open underneath a lot and have a lot of catches and have a lot of fun. And this senior year is going to be awesome for him and Patrick.
Should be interesting. I just think hopefully, and I'm hoping into this with future bets as well, that he goes scorched earth mentality. I just think it's time. He's let everybody else have their fun. Now it's time for daddy to step in like in Billy Madison. Now you're all in serious trouble. Coming up on the other side, we dive back into this Knicks and Celtics series because Shaq, Chuck, and Bob all have the same opinion, but Mac doesn't, and that is must win game three for one team. Be surprised who it is. 96.5 The Fan, you're home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, you hear birthday shout outs on a big, what do we call this, Thursday here. Chad from the Westin celebrating his birthday today. Shout out to Chad, who does so many good things for Crown Center and the Westin and for all of us here and for all the parades and everything like that. A true superstar in Kansas City. And then the other true superstar in Kansas City, Kathy Nelson, head of the Sports Commission, birthday today. So happy birthday to Kathy Nelson. Hopefully you can get the World Cup to Kansas. Oh, wait, you already did that. You already got a draft to Kansas City. And the Super Bowl may be on the horizon once the new stadiums are built, and we'll figure out that as time goes along. But Kathy Nelson, who's done nothing but just grow Kansas City from the sports world, has been the most important thing to happen to sports in Kansas City in probably the last 25 or 30 years with the way that we've been on the landscape of national events and the World Cup and all this kind of stuff. She's just such a great human being as well. Not that Chad isn't. Chad's an unbelievable guy as well. But Kathy Nelson does so much for this town. So shout out to her. Happy birthday. Hope you enjoy your 25th birthday, Kathy. And for Chad, your 35th birthday. So enjoy those days and enjoy the birthday celebration and the cake.
Fellas, I want to play some audio and then I'm going to let you have the floor.
Now for the Knicks. Don't get comfortable. It's a must win for Boston, but it's also a must win for Knicks. If you want to put serious pressure on the champs, game three is a must for the Knicks.
30-17 in the fourth quarter. So
let me take that for a second. He is 100% correct. I'm one of the few people in the world who have been in this situation twice.
I was just going to bring that up as a matter.
I said, I've been in this situation twice. We played the Lakers when we were the number one seed in the West. We lost the first two games at home.
In a five-game series.
In a five-game series. And I remember telling the guys, I said, guys, all we got to do is get the first one. Because then the pressure switches back to them.
But also, let us win one.
But you got to win the third one.
Yeah.
Because then the pressure switches. But also with Kenny, when we won the first two games in Houston, I remember telling the guys, we cannot go back to Houston 2-2. We cannot go back to Houston 2-2. I said, we got to win game three. And in both of those instances, so what Shaq said, game three is a must win. It's going to sound stupid. Game three is a must win for the Knicks. Because if they get back, because game four, because Boston's got a better team. They've been up 20, but I'm telling you, been in that situation twice. You got to win that third game. I still thought we were going to win the series when we were up, but when we lost game three, but it actually flips the mental picture.
I think it's a must-win game for both teams, and that sounds weird to say, but I do believe it is a must-win game for both teams because you're listening to guys that had experience with that. Being up 2-0, what do we talk about that with the hockey? Being up two goals in hockey is one of the biggest fallacies in sports. Being up 10 in the NFL, that's kind of a big fallacy as well.
Apparently being up 20, I guess.
Being up 20 twice, you know, deja vu, as the New York Post is calling it. That's an outlier. It really is. I mean, that's why I didn't think it was going to happen again. I don't think anybody thought what we witnessed on Monday and Wednesday would happen in back-to-back games. Insane, right? Totally insane. But I'm totally on board with both Shaq and with Charles on this, because being up 2-0 to me is the equivalent of being up 10 against Patrick Mahomes or, you know, whatever the case may be. This thing is not over. And the minute you start to believe that you've already won the series because you took the first two in Boston, that's when the Celtics come in and they wreck you and they win the next four and you lose that series 4-2. And then people are talking about you being a choke artist, right? So I do think the Knicks need to go out there on Saturday and start to put that foot on the throat of the Boston Celtics. So I do think it is a must-win game for the Knicks, because the last thing you want to do is give those defending champs a little bit of confidence. And if Boston gets a little bit of confidence and they start to come back, then you're going to hear from the Red Sox in 04. You're going to hear from all these teams that have come back, see, you can do it, and Boston Power or whatever they're saying up there and all that crap.
Boston Strong.
Yeah, so that to me is like, I just look at that and I go, you have an opportunity to eliminate your opponent, cut them off by the head. It's a must-win game for the Knicks, but it's also a must-win game for the Celtics, because if you go down 3-0, now you're really talking about rocky waters.
Matt, give us some numbers.
Teams all time after dropping the first two home games of a seven-game series. They win the series 4-24. They win the series if you win game three, this next game, 4-9. Win the series if you win game three and game four, you've got a winning record. You're 4-3. Win the series if you win game three and lose game four, you're 0-6. Win the series if you lose game three and win game four, you're 0-5. So the stats show that this is not a must win at all for the Knicks. If they win one of these next two games, one of these next two games is a must win. But if they go up 3-1.
The stats are interesting in this, but how many of those are defending champs with winning pedigree?
Probably never, because they probably don't go down 0-2.
Yeah, and so I guess I
at home.
I will. You got any more bitterness to get out?
Sorry.
That's fine. I love it. That's great.
At home. All right. Never mind. Keep going.
I don't even know where I was going with that, because it was so fun. No, it's good. It's human emotion. It's okay to have that. We all feel like that about our teams. We got to get it out, right?
Yeah. It's...
I guess I will be late to the party giving up on the Boston Celtics. And maybe it's my negativity of the NBA, because I don't watch it. But I know they're the defending champs. They've got great players, and you never count out great players, because great players can do unbelievable things in moments you don't expect. Now, their first two games, they were miserable shooting the basketball, no matter where they were on the floor, right? That should be the concerning thing. That shows me, when you're that bad at shooting, that shows me that's fatigue. At least that's the way that I feel about it. Your legs are jello. The whole season's been going on. Maybe you're getting beat up by the Knicks. I don't know what the case may be. But when you go 25 of 100 from the three-point line, that tells me something is not right.
It's like 25%.
Yeah, it is, roughly.
Good math.
Roughly 25%. But like jello legs or whatever it is. And you ain't getting your legs back if they're already jello legs right now in the playoffs, because you're continuing to play. You need that rest. You need that time off. And I also don't know, like, these guys personally. Like, are they down 0-2 and they're like, F it, Galveston's coming up next week? Or are they willing to give it their all and fight back and battle back? Like, I don't know the human side of things in that from a self, not a Knicks standpoint either. But, like, I don't know how they are humanly. Like, because a lot of times we see athletes, they lose and they check out. We see it a lot, especially in the NBA. Mm. James Harden, prime example. So are they going James to be willing Harden. To fight back? Yes. Or is Boston saying, screw this, we're going to Galveston?
I'm not saying they're going to win this series or anything, but they are not going to give up. I know. I've seen this team. They came back down from 3-0, and they had a game 7. If Jason Tatum doesn't roll his ankle on the first game of the first play of the game in game 7, maybe they're the first ever to come back 3-0. That was just two short years ago against what I believe to be a better team in the 2023 Miami Heat than the 2025 New York Knicks. Let me ask you guys a question.
Nope.
First off, sorry, I'm going to.
What about Kristoff?
11 threes, 13 twos attempted by the Celtics, 5 of 24 in the fourth quarter, 14 straight misses. Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown combined 2 for 14. Yeah, Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum combined 2 for 14. Each went 1 for 7. Abysmal. You've mentioned the 3-point shooting.
Yeah, the 12 in a row that they missed in the fourth quarter over an 8-minute span is that tells me, though, again, this is my main being naive about basketball. I just look at that and I see the way that they're not making shots. It just screams fatigue to me. And that maybe I'm wrong, but how could you be that bad shooting? You can't be that bad shooting.
I mean,
you're an NBA player.
To me, it doesn't scream fatigue. It screams the yips.
Yeah, I think it screams mental.
I mean,
something in your
head.
But
why would they have that when they are a team that just won the championship? And I'm not talking last night it does set in. When it starts to get close and, oh my God, we're doing this again.
We're doing it again.
But let's go back to Monday night. You are the defending champs. You're up 20. Why would all of a sudden you develop the yips in a game like that?
I mean, one, it's the situation. I mean, to give it... Of course, a golf analogy. I mean, Rory McIlroy can go out in the Heritage Classic and shoot 12 under and win the tournament. And then all of a sudden he plays the Masters. And now he won this one. But in the past, it's been like, why all of a sudden does Rory look like he's the 109th best golfer in the world? Like, it's the same swing. It's the same bag. It's the same getup. But yet the result is completely different. And I think what happened is the first game and the second game totally defend that it's the yips for the Celtics. The first game, they were up 20 against a team that has yet to beat them this year, and maybe they took their foot off the gas a little bit. So what happens is there's that little bit of doubt. The Knicks came back, and they did it. Next thing you know, here we are, like you said, deja two, game two of the series. It's the exact same carbon copy that game one was, and all of a sudden that memory starts to get a little bit bigger, gets a little bit thicker. Golf swing as well. It's the same swing every time you go out there. But for some reason, when you grab your pitching wedge now, you're like, last time I pulled this out from 100 yards, I shanked it off to the right. What do you think you're going to do 90% of the time when you do that with that mentality?
Yeah.
You're going to shank that club to the right because you're putting that thought process in there. So, yes, I mean, this is Boston. Okay? Like, they're not going to come into the game tomorrow and go fundamental and shoot glass shots and bank shots.
No, I mean,
they're
going to go.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't do that. What they should do is stick to what they do best. And if you die by it, then by God, you die doing what you know how to do. And then next year, you try to change it. But if you do go out there and you win by it and you do start blasting away the Knicks by 15 and 20, where you average a game 16-point differential in the regular season, then go back to that. And then all of a sudden, we'll be here on Monday morning going, well, boys, here comes a really entertaining game four. So I think Boston's got to keep doing what they're doing. But the thing is, Mazzulla does have to get better because this press conference is a bad look.
Joe, what happened there in the last 5 minutes? It just seemed like you guys couldn't score, and they just made every play.
Yeah, they made every play. And like I said, even you know, throughout the end of that third, the fourth quarter, I thought we generated some good looks. And then I thought we had some live ball turnovers, and they took advantage of it. So they made the necessary plays to win. You know, we put ourselves in position to do that, and we just didn't make the plays.
You guys, two days off. How do you respond from this? This is just another blown 20-point lead. Exactly your worst nightmare. How do you come back from this?
Yeah, I mean, you just take a look at it, figure out where you have to be better, and you know, put a full 48 minutes together. So have an understanding that it's going to be difficult. But, you know, that's why we do what we do, and figure out where we have to get better and do that.
Here you go, Mac. Here's your favorite part.
What was the thought process with not calling timeout there of 12 seconds left?
Had one left, got a good look on the exact same play 20 seconds earlier, tried to execute the exact same thing. They did a job of their lower pickup point, and we weren't able to get the advantage that we had on that on the last Tatum dunk. So good full court setting. They subbed out Towns, weren't able to sub out Brunson, had action there, and we just didn't execute.
So there's concerns there in the final minutes of the game with your head coach where he's kind of got to take over. You know, that's where you're, where some people consider coaches in the NBA like game managers, game player managers. That's where you got to hone it in. All right, fellas.
Here's what we're
what
doing.
What do we like
Here's
here?
The play.
You know?
Yep.
Because if you do have...
Yeah, they don't have Larry Bird walking through that door, okay?
No, they've got the sixth leading scorer in playoff history for the Celtics. That's Jason Tatum. He'll be fifth. He'll be actually fourth after this playoffs is over. Mm. So, yeah, they've got Larry Bird's son, Jason
Derek
Tatum.
Derek White, more points last night than Jason Tatum. So, that can't happen.
So yeah, you got to call the timeout there. Like, you're not turning those in at the end of the year and getting a check. It's not. You're not getting a refund or, you know.
They don't roll over?
They don't roll over to the next game. They don't roll over to the next season. Like, coaches.
Flyer miles?
Coaches who leave, the, like, even the half of football, use your timeouts. You got timeouts. Utilize them. And in the first half of an NFL game, use them all. And then you lose a game by seven and you got one timeout left at the end of regular. Like, what are we doing here, right? That's where it was last night. Okay. 12 seconds left.
No, I'm screaming timeout. Yeah. Screaming it.
Like, any moron, including
breaking
myself.
Yes, I'm breaking my hand.
Like, moron Bob over here is like, no timeout.
What are we doing? What are we,
and you're running the exact same play.
Same play. That is what's asinine to me. I will defend him on the three-point game plan, but that is just truthfully abysmal.
That's fireable.
Embarrassing.
When you do stuff like that.
Run
like,
same
like,
play, worked 20 seconds ago.
No, they're ready for it now. You know, this isn't like high school football where the coach stands there, run it again, and you run the same play 10 times till you get it
It'll
right.
Work, yeah.
This isn't the regular season either, where you have an opportunity to bounce back. If you wanted to try something in the regular season, knowing you're going to the playoffs, fine. You're the Celtics, you're the the Chiefs, you're teams like that nature. You can try things in the regular season to see what they're going to be. But you got 12 seconds left. You've got the ball. You're down one. You have an opportunity to take the last shot. You know, second night in a row, you don't even get a shot off. Like, that goes back to the coaching and the situation there. But the reason I'm, like, still very cautious in this series, the odds haven't changed. The Celtics are still a huge favorite to win this series. Our guy Jimmy over there at BetAG sent us the odds this morning. The Knicks are plus 535 to win the series. The Celtics are minus 750.
Are you sure?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Still to this day,
from what?
The odds have not, from the odds have not
moved. Because on FanDuel, that is not the case.
I was going to say, on DraftKings, it's minus 110 both ways.
Yeah. Well, to win the series?
Yeah.
Okay, because I'm looking at the email that we got this morning from the folks over at BetAG, and it says this. To my shock, despite losing both games at home to the Knicks, the Celtics are still favored in that series.
Wow.
The New York Knicks, it says plus 535, Boston minus 750. Series odds open, Celtics minus 750, Knicks plus 535. Current odds give the Celtics a 53.5% likelihood of winning the series. I'm just reading what he said. Now, maybe there'll be a retraction later on today about something like that. But that those were the odds that we were sent this morning by the sports book that sends them all the time, betonline.ag. And so, to me, I was stunned to see something like that. ESPN just ran a poll. Who's going to win the series? People are very close to the Knicks. Like 53% are favoring the Knicks right now.
But it's still right there
to win the series. Yeah. So it's still right there. So when you start talking about the odds, it's who's betting? Who's betting on this? And quite honestly, the Knicks are up 2-0. I would probably still put money on the Celtics to win the series because, again, we've seen this before. You've got to being up 2-0 is a great fallacy, I think, anyway. In the NBA, in any sport, especially against a team that's loaded with defending champions.
And you mentioned it earlier when we discussed this. What is it, 81 minutes the Celtics have led in these two games?
Yeah, 81-04, 12-15 for the Knicks, yeah.
So you look at the context of these, oh, wow, the Knicks won two on the road. Wow, this series is over. Well, the Celtics led for over 80 minutes in that game. They had a 20-point lead both times with shooting like complete trash. And they still had an overtime loss and lost by one, never got a shot up. With how poorly the Celtics have played, I guess my question to you that I referenced earlier would be, am I wrong? Am I crazy? Am I Mac Celtics biased to think that this Boston team's still better and can win this series?
I mean, according
to,
I agree with
you. I think they're still better.
No, I agree with you on that. And so do a lot of the bettors.
I watch these games, I'm like, this team's better.
What do we say yesterday? Boston can be down 3-0 and still win the series.
Right. And the best team doesn't always win, the games. You've got to figure out how to win. And the Knicks have done a better job of winning in this series.
I want to give them credit, too.
Than the Celtics have. Yeah, I mean, because they didn't take a lead until like a minute to go last night.
Amazing. No, they know who they are. They get in that five-minute mark. They're around 8 to 12 points down. They feel 100% confident.
And they go out there and they D up, too. The Knicks play some serious defense. Again, for all those who say that the NBA doesn't play defense, just watch the Knicks in the fourth quarter.
Tell that to Mikal Bridges.
Yeah, exactly. Like you want to tell that guy to his face that they don't play defense in the NBA? Now, the Celtics, on the other hand,
he's got an attitude.
I mean, that guy in the fourth quarter with 14 points and a big block again?
Yeah, 7 in a row when they needed it.
According to DraftKings, Boston is -120 to win the series. The Knicks are +100.
Wow. Gosh.
So that's where they have it.
Still favored. To Bob's point, still favored.
Yeah. I mean, as Bob also said, they should be. They're the better team.
They're a better team.
That makes me feel less biased to know that you guys think that, too, because I'm watching these games. I'm like, this team is choking.
I think we have been, I don't want to use the term like hardened as sports fans, but when I was a kid, if you were up 2-0, we felt like, oh, that was over. It was a done deal. Mm. Now we know because everybody's an amazing athlete. Back when I was growing up, you had plumbers and bouncers playing and things like that. Guys were, using that and then they had their summer job and whatnot. They were building houses. Like it wasn't real like it is today where guys are fully dedicated to playing their sport in the off season and all that, where everybody's a legitimate player. You're not running out there with a bunch of tomato cans on your roster like you were in the 80s and 90s. Now, everybody on every roster is a legitimate player no matter what the sport is. And so being up 2-0 is just like, whatever. Boston can get on a heater. They can win 4 in a row. They beat the Knicks 4 straight during the regular season. Like, they are a better team. They have better players. And I still think people believe that, all right, they may be down 2-0, but they're going to figure it out. It'll be just fine. It's like Patrick Mahomes being down 24. They'll figure it out. It'll be fine.
I noticed something last night.
They've earned that benefit of the doubt, by the way.
I noticed something last night with, I guess it was with Reggie Miller. He called Jalen Brunson the closer for the Knicks, right? Because they were
he loves Jalen.
Because they were talking about how they were doing efficiently well without Brunson on the floor again. And Miller came in and was like, yeah, that's because they're going to let him rest. And then he comes in, he's your closer. Who's the Celtics' closer? Shouldn't it be Tatum?
It should be Tatum.
And we don't see that.
We have not seen that these two games.
Like, LeBron is a fantastic closer. Yep. Now, he's one of the best basketball players to ever play the game. But, like, you knew that, like, when the Lakers were up 6 with, like, a minute left, Brown was going to go high post or high key, get the ball, clear out, ISO, dunk, layup, or and foul. Like, Iverson was a great closer. Dwayne Wade, close. That's what I want to see from Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I'm ready.
And when you have a 20-point lead, maybe use the clock a little better. Maybe run the shot clock down to 2. Maybe to one. Maybe don't fire up a three with 8 seconds left.
Yeah, I agree. I also think we get into the tendency of playing too slow when we're up. That's what I think the Celtics tend to do. They start wasting time, acting like there's 5 minutes left when there's a whole quarter, and the Knicks are like, okay, yeah, waste these possessions. We'll inch back. I do think that the Celtics have a last shot, who is it going to be problem. But I think Tatum's proved in other series that he is a closer. He's had 50 points in a game six on the road against the Bucks in a game that they needed to win. He's had 40-point game sevens. Mm-hmm. He's done it. He has been abysmal. He has been an atrocity. He's been an embarrassment to the game of basketball. No Celtic has more than 2 field goals in 2 fourth quarters. Jason Tatum is 1 for 10 in the fourth quarter in the series.
That's Larry Bird's son.
I mean, so that's why I go back to fatigue, because they didn't forget how to play. They didn't forget how to be good basketball players. When you make these runs, ask the Royals in 14 and 15 how exhausted they were at the end. Ask the Chiefs how exhausted they were at the end of all of these Super Bowl runs. Like, people don't factor that in. When you make these long runs in the postseason, your offseason is severely shortened. James Harden is already on the beach in Galveston. Okay? If you go to the NBA Finals, you're playing into the almost July 4th holiday. Yeah. That's 2 months from now.
Mm.
That's still 2 months from now that you're playing. So whoever reaches the NBA Finals is going to play 2 months longer than the teams that were eliminated in the first round, and 2.5 months longer than the teams that didn't even make the postseason. Those guys are resting. And you do this year by year by year by year by year. It eventually catches up with you. And that's why it's so rare to see a repeat in baseball anymore, because you play 162 regular season games. Then you got 30 postseason games, and you got 30 spring training games. Guys are exhausted from all of this, and they just go, "Uncle, I don't have it anymore. I'm tired." And there's nothing wrong with that. Every person gets tired. You just get to a point where you don't have it anymore. And so the Celtics have been doing this. The Knicks weren't. And playing in high leverage games as well. How many high leverage games have the Knicks really played in compared to the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
And every game that you play in the regular season, if you're Boston, it's like the Chiefs. Everybody wants to beat your ass. So you got to play your best every night, even during the regular season, to keep up this pace. Fatigue is a real thing in the playoffs for teams that are perennial winners. It happens in all sports.
It's true. I mean, they went to the ECF in 21, finals in 22. They lost ECF again in 23, finals last year, and now here we are. So you're right. It's a lot of years of playing a lot more.
And it's not like they're cycling off that roster. No, it's a lot of the same guys. Yeah. When was the last time the Knicks made it past the first round?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you can go back and try to figure out when it was, because we have a question for you on the other side. If you could rewatch a sports game for the first time again, which game would you choose? 913-586-7965. Which sports event or game would you watch again for the first time if you could choose? 913-586-7965. We dive into that on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball.
And welcome back in to 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you. Damn, glad to have you on a Thursday. Royals play this afternoon. That's where Mac's going to get a surf side, because he'll have zero troubles with zero bubbles. He'll be able to watch the Royals go for that sweep.
Woo.
At, what is it, elementary day at the K?
School day at the K.
Can't wait.
Woof. Mac and all his buddies will be there screaming at fly balls, thinking they're home runs.
How long till Mac's over the SIG section?
Yeah, then the crowd will dissipate about the sixth inning when they got to get him back to the school.
That's probably true, yeah.
So that's in like an hour and a half into the game.
Yeah.
No, that's fun. I love day games.
Day games are great.
They hit differently.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Maybe you're going to go Glizzy? You're going to go Nacho Helmet? You're going to go...
That's a good question. Honestly, last time I didn't get a Glizzy, so it's probably time.
Yeah, you do. For that and a chocolate malt.
Chocolate malt with a wooden spoon.
Ew.
We just put those wooden spoons in our mouth like they're clean, too.
Nah, you got to go get a plastic one. Just, ma'am, may I please have a plastic spoon? Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, think about an ice pop. You're licking that stick. You don't know where those sticks have been.
Well, they're wrapped in paper.
No, that I'm talking about on the actual ice. Still don't know where they've been. Somebody had to put them in that paper.
Yeah. We asked the question, if you could watch any sporting event again for the first time, would it be? Someone took mine.
Oh.
I know.
On the text line?
Yeah.
Damn. That means it's popular. That means it's a good choice.
Obviously. I don't think there's many that you want to watch again for the first time. Mine's the 13-second game.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, great that was. I mean, I'd love to watch that game over again.
What if I told you the Chiefs won this game, but then lose in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, well, it's all right.
Or lose in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
rather.
Yeah, that's what it was.
The next week.
But I mean, still watching that game over again because that was arguably the best and most exciting game of the Patrick Mahomes era, right? I mean, nothing can top that. It really does suck that the we had the situation involving the AFC Championship game, Mac, because that was a situation that would have carried it even further. They had the Grim Reaper T-shirts made. Everybody was in on that, and then he came out and lost the next week, and everybody's like, "Oh, let's not forget about that."
The nickname sucks. Yeah, go back to Showtime.
Yeah, like the Grim Reaper thing did not take off because they didn't win the next week, and we're like, okay, that's over, and everybody was kind of licking their wounds on that one. But to have the ability to watch that game over again and not know the outcome, and hopefully to see my wife have the same reaction, I'm like, it'll be fine. It was fun. What a game.
He said she was in the fetal position.
Oh my God. Like, I can't believe they're going to lose. I go, we got this.
Bob's just Joe Cool with a cig.
Exactly.
Like, get her away from me.
That would tick me off.
She'll tell you. She goes, like, unbelievable.
I can see her doing that.
They win. She looks him dead ass in the face. I hate you.
See you in the bedroom
in 10 minutes.
What did I tell you? Yeah. What did I tell you?
Tell me now.
You were right. You're going to win. You're right.
Not even 5 minutes of enjoying the victory. Yeah, exactly. What did I tell you?
Yeah, what did I say?
I just know. I mean, they won. I just looked at him and said, hey, what are you doubting? Why would you ever doubt 15? Ever?
That was a great one. That's a good choice for sure. Dusty, what's yours that got taken?
2014 wild card game.
Yeah, but they lost the World Series.
Yeah, they did.
That game. Legendary.
But they went to the World Series.
Imagine that game with a pitch clock, how much sooner Henry would have had to leave.
I guess we're just ruining my moment. So go ahead, Mac.
No, I liked your moment.
It got ruined.
I'm sorry.
How did he get ruined?
Throwing shots like that.
You threw shots at mine too. So what? It's okay for you to throw shots at me, but I throw it back at you.
I said they just lost the next game.
Yeah, they didn't make the World Series, and Henry could have left earlier. That's it. It was a phenomenal game.
Great game. One of the best games in Royals history.
Baseball game I've ever seen.
Yeah, I was going to say the best game in Royals history, but I didn't want to overstep.
Kurt Nelson, what do you think? Because I know you're listening. Is that the best game in Royals history? How could it not be?
There's probably one from like 1980 against the Yankees.
Some upper deck tank job that George Brett hit against Goose Gossage or something that we're not thinking about.
Well, just like there's so many like little things that happen in that game that like are ironically funny. Like everyone always says Sal Perez always swings that outside pitch. Well, if he doesn't swing that outside pitch, it doesn't go down the third base side where a Gold Glove third baseman was at and a future MVP. Royals win the game. George Brett looks like he'd never seen anything like it in his life.
Yeah,
and that guy's seen some stuff.
Yeah, that's true. George's reaction should probably tell you that was probably the best game in Royals history, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. When a legend who's seen everything in the game.
I mean, it went extra innings, and it didn't end in extra. It kept going, and
the guy named Ace gives up a home run. The manager was going to be booed out of this city.
The manager
was going to have his number retired.
There are people that believe they would have been fired after that game had they not won that in the organization. Jeez. So,
yeah, you really paint the full picture. You're like, a lot could have changed just from that one game, but it didn't. Mine would be Super Bowl 54. So, first Super Bowl.
The first one.
Yeah.
Why do you want to rewatch that one?
Because it was like the best night ever. It was fantastic.
You want to see Wasp again?
Yeah, I want to see Wasp. I want to feel like we're, you know.
Did you enjoy the game?
I enjoyed the end of it. It was worth it.
But did you enjoy the game? Because what I'm getting at is, do you want to rewatch that one because you didn't watch it with enough joy? You watched it with a clenched football.
Oh, I was extremely clenched. Yeah. Yes.
But you don't know the outcome. So you wouldn't be able to set yourself up.
I kind of liked the part that we're using clenched, but I kind of liked the part that my sphincter was tight in that game because the Chiefs hadn't won before.
Right.
So I was just full of scars and despair and all of those things. So for when they're down 10, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I didn't think that they were necessarily going to win that game. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I thought they were going to come back. So that feeling for the first time, that
even
we
with
did
all
it,
the comebacks in those playoffs.
Yeah, no, I did. I
down 24,
I
down yeah, 10.
Yeah,
you know.
Wasn't counting us out, but definitely it was. Yeah, yeah. So I'd like to feel that again. Yeah, because awesome. That euphoria.
Yeah, the euphoria. Oof, like
winning that first one, man.
You don't know what the outcome's going to be, but like a lot of these games, you watch as a nervous sports fan, right? You don't watch them like, I'm watching this Knicks-Celtics thing. I'm just enjoying the hell out of it. And sometimes that's the better way to enjoy sports. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Knicks don't win this thing, what do I care, right? It's no big deal. I know for you, if the Celtics don't win this thing, though, it's the end of the world.
I know.
You.
I don't want to be that way.
Right. And but when it's your team, it is that way, yeah. Right? And that's why I asked you, how were you watching that game? Because I know how we were watching the wild card game. I mean, we must have done 16 different show rundowns during that game because yeah. It just constantly changed as, you know, the night went along with all of that. I mean, that was an amazing game as well. I mean, it was just like, and I don't know that we watched that game with joy. I think we kind of watched that game on pins and needles, mm-hmm. too. And, you yeah. know, but also going into that game, you know, I think the conversation was, well, we made the playoffs. This is kind of cool. We're here. You know, did we make the playoffs? If we lose, does it count as a wild card game? All that nonsense. It was happy to be here. It was a new experience for everybody.
I think what's interesting about all three games that we chose, yours being the 13-second game, is that, and the 14 All-Star game and the Super Bowl, is that no matter where you were at, 100%, no matter where you were at, half the room was doubters and the other half was like, well, let's see what happens. You have Patrick Mahomes. You have a team that's been playing hot. You have a team that's in, you know, shouldn't be here. And then all of a sudden, well, we've never been to the Super Bowl. Might as well check it out with Patrick Mahomes, see what he does. Come back, win. Come back, win. Come back, win.
If they would have lost Super Bowl 54, would you have been devastated or would you have been like, man, at least I got to see a Super Bowl in my lifetime?
I'd have gotten to that point. I'd have been devastated yeah. for probably 2 weeks. I probably would have called in sick.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it would have just been like, it's like not knowing what we know now about how many times they've been back.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, it's,
yeah.
it's spoiled that.
Yep.
Because, like, I mean, how many people, you know, Green Bay fans that are like, oh, we got Aaron Rodgers, man. We got a title. We're doing good. 2011. And then all of a sudden it's like
2025 and he's playing for the Steelers
and married.
Well,
he got another ring without him.
What's more of a wow? He's playing for the Steelers in 2025 or that he's married?
Married.
Probably. Somebody likes the guy.
Somebody said yes to the dress.
Yeah. Somebody said to that guy, yeah, I'm willing to spend time with you.
Yeah, that's crazy. God, that 13-second game was great. I know exactly
the wild card game was amazing, too, though. I mean, like,
all those games were.
The 13-second game and the wild card game are the two most oh my God moments in our lifetime.
The other thing, too, is like, you don't really have the reaction of the wild card game because of the fact that, like, there weren't really like live mics, at least that they showed. But, like, you watch the outcome of the 13-second game now behind the scenes where, like, they call, like, Buffalo called timeout. Like, Buffalo fans forget that. Like, you called timeout and then came out in the same setup and where the tight end was like, Pat, dude, if they do this again, right here and let's go. And, like, that's
yeah, that kind of stuff, the behind.
Yeah, and that's why I think the 13-second game does reign supreme. He's like, do it, do it, do it. And, like,
do it, Kels,
he's like,
do
when
it.
You hear that, he's like, I'm there. And then, of course, you have Tyreek Hill. It's nuts. Because, like,
they don't win that game without Tyreek Hill.
No.
Because they're not in that defense without Tyreek Hill.
That's a good point. They're not in that defense without Tyreek.
Yep.
Probably. Yeah, because he scored some earlier. Yeah. Oh, they scored too fast.
Yeah.
He did scorch them earlier, right? In that quarter.
Yeah.
He
had a super all the way at the side. Peace signed him at the 12-yard line.
Amazing two games. That wild card game and that 13-second game are like, I don't care what teams you root for in life and sports, you find me two games better in your city than the wild card game and the third.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
14-second game.
You might have another wild card game, or you might not if they continue doing what they're doing, and that is winning. That's what the Royals continue to do, is win. We'll talk about why it's important to do that no matter who you play. On the other side here, I'm Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The